Yeah, 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 yeah. Wah, 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 wah. Hello. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host, the host with the most viral stand-up click about professional wrestling, Dan Black, a.k.a. Donski Blackamora, a.k.a. Donnie Kayfabe, a.k.a. Donnie Capri from the time I went to Italy, a.k.a. Don Strowman, the Patreon Don, a.k.a. the modern-day Goof Haraja. Coming at you like Scott Bakula. Baby, baby, we're taking a quantum leap. Gabba, gabba, wee, gabba, wee. Yeah, yeah, the girl, she's mine. And damn, she's fine. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of the hot, hot wrestling reactions. We are here with a special SummerSlam week bonus episode brought to you by our Patreon, but this is free on the main feed. If you dig it, think about supporting the show. We are grassroots. I'm here with a special guest. Doesn't get more special than this. The current reigning, defending, intercontinental champion, Mr. Dolph Ziggler.
What's up, bro?
Yeah. Nothing, man. How are you?
Oh, great. Is that, hold on, hold is that on. Intro over yet?
Yeah, I know. I warned you. Don't freak out. Hold on a second. Wait. I didn't do this right. Dolph Ziggler.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is your phone ringing? Is that what that is?
Yeah. Sorry, I just got a text. Just got a text from my wife. Wait. Man, that'd be great.
Did she say take it down a notch? Is
she
that what the
take
text
it down a notch. Yeah. She said you're embarrassing yourself in front of your heroes. What are you doing?
They say never meet him.
Hey.
You know?
Okay, before we get into it, we're gonna plug some stuff because this is SummerSlam week.
Heck yeah.
I mean, you got a big match coming up that we all know about. But also before the match, the lead up is the exciting stuff.
And of course. It's a big, huge week for wrestling fans and sports entertainment fans alike all around coming to New York City, New Jersey area. It's going to be awesome.
And this Friday night and Saturday night, you can catch me and Dolph Ziggler in
out on the
show.
Town,
that's
hanging
right.
out.
That's right. You can catch me first and then the Intercontinental Champion, Dolph Ziggler, Friday night at Dolph Ziggler and Friends at midnight at Caroline's on Broadway.
Fantastic. What a dream come true for me. I'm an idiot who loves stand-up comedy, and the fact that I'm being on a show at Caroline's in New York City is something I do not deserve, but it's going to be awesome.
Headlining a show.
No big deal. Typical part-timer headlining WWE show. Makes sense, right?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah, you're pulling a reverse Brock.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah, that's great.
Get a little Jimmy John's sponsor for the show, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, that'd be great. You're doing what Brock does.
Yeah.
In wrestling, you're doing
crushing it.
Absolutely. Yeah. You show up just to headline. That's it. I haven't seen you at any mics, okay? You're just going right to Caroline's. No, but that's Friday night at midnight at Caroline's. And you were telling me some of the guests that are coming to the show, and I won't spoil them.
Yeah, I'm trying
to come to the show.
It's going to be nuts. There's a handful of wrestling people that are my friends who are on Raw or SmackDown who have never done any type of stand-up comedy and are willing to do 2 or 3 minutes because it's all for charity. We're doing a huge thing from the Wounded Warriors Project, which is close to my heart, and I'm constantly doing stuff with them. All the merchandise I sell, the pre-show VIP meet and greet, everything that we do is going to be a huge donation to them. So it's something special, but also it's awesome. Everyone you want to see that week who's busy doing all these appearances, you might get to see do some awesome stand-up or some really, really bad stand-up. Either way, it'll be good.
Right. And the next night, that's going to be awesome.
Yes.
The next night, Saturday at midnight, that's Friday night at midnight.
Yes.
Saturday at midnight, after NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, you're going to be a little drunk, right? And you're going to be like, what am I going to do? Well, you know what you're going to do. You're going to come see Dolph Ziggler again.
Woo!
At the Comedians of Wrestling SummerSlam-tacular at Caveat Theater. You can get your tickets at caveat.nyc. I'm going to be doing a super long set only about professional wrestling.
You're trying to get people there, right?
What? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what so I'm doing.
You're doing a set. Maybe not say super long. Let's you know, short and sweet. Always leave one more.
Guys, I'm doing 3 minutes. I'm gonna be doing a 3 minute.
How exciting and great will that be? Just a couple of minutes of Dan. I mean, to be fair, this podcast.
I see you being a heel has affected you.
Since I was 5 years old. Yes.
Yeah.
I feel like this podcast should be done as you preparing for the podcast for that hour that I got here. It's the best. It's funnier than any material that you're going to do, except for Saturday night. I'm excited for it.
Because I'm such a like disheveled Jew. Like, I'm just
it's,
like,
it's
I'm
so
like,
fun.
Right, I'm like, Dolph, you're coming in. What time are you coming? You want a coffee? Like, yeah. What?
Well, no, I appreciate it. That was such a great host.
Yeah. I had a checklist of questions to ask you weekend. Yeah. I'm so planned.
Yes.
Well, you know, I went to school for accounting. You know that, right?
Hey, yeah, I think I did know that. Yeah, that's funny. I'm glad to see you using it.
Oh, man.
I went to school for political science, and I kind of used it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're playing the politics of the WWE game, which are serious.
Well, I was going to say doing politics on Fox Business tonight at 8 o'clock on Kennedy's show. But, yeah, we can. I mean, everything can be a joke, I guess.
I try to ignore the fact that you're on Fox all the time, but anyway, okay, on Fox News.
Come on, man.
Okay, no, hey, it exists. No, yeah, oh yeah,
great. It exists. Anyway, is whatever, that the line? Is it? Come on, man.
It exists, but no. Anyway,
it's a great show.
Imagine
glad
we
to
get
a part
into political. No, you're on a great show. You're on the best show on the network. You're gonna be on Kennedy, right?
Yes.
When is that gonna air tonight?
It'll be tonight at 8 o'clock, Fox Business Live.
All right, so that's
great
yeah.
show.
But you're always on that show. Kennedy's awesome.
She's awesome. I'm on there a lot. She's
I remember when
her and Mayor Glenn Jacobs are constantly almost leaning me toward full on libertarian, but we'll see, you know.
Wow.
It's like day to day, you got to figure it out and do, you know, see what you like.
The demon came, Mayor of
Knox County.
Knox County. Tennessee. Unbelievable. anyway, so yeah, well Kennedy, I remember Kennedy when she used to introduce Better Than Ezra songs on
I was going to say Liquid Television. No, Alternative Nation or something?
Yeah, that was cool. She's like a big part of my childhood. I like think of, like Kennedy, that's Kennedy. No, but that anyway. So anyway, check out the SummerSlamtacular, midnight, a caveat, this Saturday night, August 18th, after NXT TakeOver. It's at midnight. Come on over. They got a bar there. It's going to be a great time.
They got a bar, I'm in.
Other guests. Yeah. Dolph Ziggler will be in the house. The question is, will he bring the belt? I mean, let's leave that up in the air.
To be fair, belts hold up your pants. If you want me to bring my Intercontinental Championship.
Title. Oh, I'm sorry. Was that, can I
championship and title are both acceptable. Belts hold up your pants, brother. So we will.
We got a Vince guy here. We got a Vince
well,
guy.
Well, I am a company man, and clearly, and I like to deliver and, you know, educate also while I'm speaking.
The company man? I saw the way you spoke to Kurt Angle.
I'm a huge fan of Kurt Angle's. Yeah. Just, you know, don't get on my bad side.
Okay, check out those shows. Anyway. Okay, are you guys ready? Look, we got an exciting sponsor on the show, Adam Letterman, attorney at law.
Yeah!
Adam is the top guy at the law firm Davis, Saperstein, and Solomon, located in New Jersey and New York. Adam was voted a top 40 under 40 lawyer nationally and is certified by the Supreme Court of New Jersey.
That ain't easy.
As a civil trial attorney.
Damn.
Baby.
Oh,
attorney, baby. Adam specializes in personal injury law. Call this guy if you've been hit by a car, a kendo stick, or Elias's guitar. All Cal listeners get free legal advice from Adam himself. Just another perk of this podcast. And all you got to do is simply message Adam Letterman, LEDERMAN, on Facebook. Adam is actually in the Comedians at Wrestling Facebook group.
He made it real easy for you.
Yeah, you just message him in there. All right? Unlike Brock Lesnar, Adam will show up and be your legal champion.
This is real life.
Okay, so you're – okay. Now you're in here. You're in here. The last time we had you in here was like – I don't know when that was. But
I don't either.
Probably a year and a half ago, something
maybe,
like that.
Maybe, yeah.
Now you're the current Intercontinental Champion.
Yes.
How does that feel to be the Intercontinental Champion?
It's pretty cool, especially on live events where, you know, this is not a dig in any way. Brock is not around all the time. And
no.
He is the Universal Champion. So when it comes to the live events, there's a Women's Championship. There's our Tag Championships. But a lot of times I am, for the last 2 months now, been in the main events of all our live events, whether it's a singles match and the title's on the line, or there's a tag with me and my buddy Drew versus two-thirds of the Shield. And it's been awesome. I love that honor of having that title and tearing down the house no matter what the situation.
Right. Because I love it. I love that I have to decipher when you're going to be working me and when you're going to be the company man and when are you Dolph Ziggler and when am I getting Nick? But so because last time you
Wait, what you got Nick right now?
Oh, okay.
What? Bro.
No, because last time you were in here, you said you're not a mark for championships.
I'm not. But when you're a champion and you realize that what you're doing on the show, it's like, I don't go, oh my God, I got to be champion. Right. I go, if I'm killing it and I am the champion and I'm setting an example by tearing it down in the house, tearing the house down, like, that's fine. That's not being a mark for championships. Well, I'm a mark for being the best.
Yeah,
who cares?
That was a great answer.
Thank
you. That was a really great answer.
Yeah, that's a real answer.
But I'm saying, like, Sunday, if you go to sleep, Sunday, not the champion, do you feel sad? Or are you more like, that match rocked the fucking house down? Yeah.
It's sports entertainment, so more importantly is, did I do everything I could to make my job the best it can be, that say Seth was in there with someone else, they couldn't have done this, they couldn't have done it this way, it wouldn't have been this smart, it wouldn't have been this good. That's the checklist I do. And so whether I go to bed as champion and whether I go to bed with 99 of the 100 points checked off in my head that were great, I will be thinking of the one time where I go, oh, I could have been here instead of here, damn it. That's what I'll think of while I'm trying to go to sleep.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to actually go to sleep. By the way, do you ever sleep? That's the question.
Dude, I appreciate you pushing back the podcast today because I got about 45 minutes last night and about 15 on the plane, and I needed a power nap and to hit the gym real quick and, of course, get some poached eggs and avocado.
But yeah, well, that's what you texted me.
No avocado toast. Don't waste the carbs.
You texted me. Whenever we text, it's always bits.
Yes.
Always bits back and forth. And then you texted me
for the first time ever, I said a normal thing to you, and you went, ha, 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 and I went, uh-oh.
You said, that's the first time I've ever said, ha, 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 ha.
It really is.
Really?
Yeah, which is funny.
Because you said poached egg and avo.
Yeah.
I was like, you want anything? And you're like, nah, I just had a poached egg and avo. It's fucking hilarious. Avo?
I don't know. I'll just pretend that I've been texting you bits nonstop.
No, it was good. But so you're saying, like,
most fans don't have my phone number, just so you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I make them DM me.
And let's be honest here. Look, we're friends. I'm such a fucking mark. I try so hard to be cool, but it doesn't. That's why I just stopped with the wrestlers. They know I'm a mark. It's all good. I mean, I talk about it every week. You know, it's just whatever. They get the deal. Yeah. Like, you are the Intercontinental Champion, and you're not wearing the belt right now. The title,
thank you.
The championship.
I appreciate that.
I apologize.
It's fine.
No, you're not wearing the championship right now, and that blows my fucking mind. If I was the champion, I'd be wearing that thing 24/7.
I wore it on the plane. I wore it to the car.
True?
No, that's not true.
Okay, yeah.
But in my head as a kid, I was like, if I ever
get... You got it in a bag like it's a cat on the airplane?
Yeah, it's real life. You can't check that stuff, man. You got to carry it on. And once in a while, when you have to, you have a small plane, and you got to give them your bag over to, like, plane side check it, I take the title out and bring it with me on the plane because you can't screw around, man.
Right, so, okay.
I've had bags lost like that plenty of times.
Right, because you travel an insane amount, right? I mean, you're on the road 300 days a year probably?
It's annoying. Like, two-thirds of this job is travel. Like, the wrestling part's awesome, the working out part.
Yeah.
Like, being able, like, to do everything we do is great, but it's 300 days a year, I'm gone. And plus, I kind of have a couple side jobs, so I'm constantly flying even more than those 2 days off at home. I'm on another flight. So.
I know. You're a maniac. You also, I can't believe you're like, I had to squeeze the gym. Anyway, it's awesome. I don't want to
do it, bro.
I want to talk about the championship for a second.
All right.
Like, traveling with it. So I'm saying that, do you have the option, tell me if this is too marky, do you have the option to just leave it with them? Or they're like, no, we want you. WB's like, we want you traveling with
it. No, it's an understood thing. You travel with it.
Right.
And you don't check it. And you don't, because, like I said, bags get lost all the time. And even the carry-on bag. I always have my gear, boots, and a spare change of clothes, and my title. And that's it. And once in a while, when you do have to check your bag plane side, because you have a small jet or something that you're getting on, I will take the title out. I go, I could always wrestle in my clothes, but I need 5 days a week. I have to have this title with me for whatever match I'm going to, whatever appearance I'm doing. Yeah, you can't screw around, man.
That's fucking awesome. Okay.
It's kind of cool.
That is, I love it. All right, let's talk about this current iteration of your character right now.
Okay.
So now you're a heel. Last time you came in, you were a baby face.
Was I really?
Yeah. I think you
That's
were
funny.
Just teetering on the...
I think
or maybe you were... no, you weren't doing... It wasn't... Record scratch, Ziggler.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
In 13 years, I think there's about a year and a half where I was full-fledged good guy, and I hated it.
You were very over. That's what we talked about last time.
When that, you were a fan. We just talked about how great I was and how over I was.
You're great. Well, last time we talked about that Survivor Series match.
Oh, wow. That's funny. Okay. That was a hell of a match. I loved that.
That was a great match. That vigilante Sting came and ruined it. But
I thought it was great.
No, it was awesome. Ruined it for you. Anyway.
I'm not a huge WCW guy, right. But I'm a big Flair guy. And there's like this coolness of Stinger being this entity that has never crossed over to WWE, and I thought it was a huge deal. Like, I love where I work, I love doing what I do, but there's like this appreciation for that brand loyalty where Stinger, I don't know what the situations always were, but he never came over to WWE at any point.
Wait, didn't he have a big problem during the Attitude Era with, like, because he's kind of religious? Didn't he have a big problem with how...
Bro, I am not the Marky Mark that you are. So I have no idea.
Shame.
I just...
You should know this.
I had no idea. I don't know people's lives. And by the way, when you read a rumor online, like if it's about you and your friends, you go, oh, that's the opposite of what happened to you. Yeah. I don't believe anything I read. My dad will text me. He's like, what? You punched Vince backstage? Like, no, Dad, I didn't. Oh, okay, cool. Just making sure. You're like,
yeah.
All right. So, like, that's how dumb stuff like that is. But, dude, Stinger showed up. Seth and I were in the ring when Stinger showed up.
Awesome.
And I thought it was one of the coolest things. And the reason I keep saying Stinger is because there's
this
this amazing Four Horsemen Stinger tag match where they make it seem like Flair has been jumped by, I believe, Pillman and Arn. And they're setting up where Sting is all by himself against these two horsemen without a partner.
Yeah.
They look like they just beat up Flair throughout the thread of the show. They get it. Stinger's getting beat up for 15 minutes with no one to tag. Flair makes his way down the aisle just in his alligator shoes and slacks with a big cut on his forehead. And he's strutting on the side of the ring going, come on, Stinger! Come on, Stinger! Because he's going to turn on the horsemen. And you wait 8 or 10 more minutes of 2-on-1. He tags Flair. The place fucking erupts.
Yeah.
Flair struts and goes, woo, and turns around and punches Sting right in the face. And it is the greatest thing that I've ever seen in wrestling.
That I've been brushing up on my
Ric Flair. Oh, I loved it.
I have to watch that immediately.
Bro, I it's some kind of paper. I'm not good with old school stuff.
No, I'm not like that. Like,
that's a famous kind of a fake, like you think the horsemen are turning on Flair or something, and he just keeps going, come on, Stinger! And it's the crowd goes from hours earlier going, all the horsemen are the bad guys, we're rooting for Stinger, to where they turn the crowd, and he's begging for that tag, and he gets it, and it's beautiful work.
Well, we could let's parlay that into my question, which was that I said this iteration of Ziggler, right? And you brought up Flair, and so I see you, and I'm like, this feels like some inspired by, not a knockoff by any means, but you got the outfit, now you're wearing the blazer,
yeah.
The hair. I mean, that's...
God, I love the hair.
So I opened up questions to our listeners, and I got most questions were about the new Ashley Schaefer BMW, flat, the hair. What's the inspiration for the hair? I mean, it's not Flair-esque.
No,
but it's flattened.
But the
it's straightened, flattened.
Yeah, it's flattened.
It's like, yeah, it's flattened.
Flat ironed, I think, is the term.
What, do you think, I mean, with the hair, like, because you should switch it up with the hair a good amount.
Yeah, I do. I try and mix it up almost all the time. Or for big pay-per-view matches and stuff, I'll get a different kind of braid or something weird. And for a pretty long time, I wasn't talking on the microphone too much. So usually if I came out, it was to wrestle. So I in the old days, I used to come out and I enjoy that. Not so much Dolph Ziggler, but Nick Nemeth is a real-life 80s bad guy in real life.
Yeah.
And I live for that. But I'm also, like, the key, the hair, the flat ironing the hair is what I do for every Motley Crue show, every Poison show, every 80s rock hair. But I do the hair because I get all glam rocked up because I'm a huge fan of that. So that's why I started wearing the pants, and I'm a big Vince Neil guy, and I love all that stuff. So it is a little bit of a flair because you get the nice feathered hair, whatever. But the idea is... I finally have, for the last couple of weeks, finally get to talk a little bit. So I go, let me dress how I would if I was dressed up being this douchebag that I am. I love this, but also make it cool. And I go, like a Hawaiian shirt, 80s bad guy, rolled up the sleeves the one week on my blazer, flat iron the hair, put the shades on. And I go, no one is embracing, like, I don't know. Everything is a little bit of a shades of gray. Not everyone's like, yay, I'm the good guy, boo, I'm the bad guy. Because last night, Drew and I spoke a little bit of truth to the fans and their fickleness and everything, and it like it made sense to me. But also there's this, I dress like this because I can. But what really bums me out is last night I had a really fun promo.
Loved
I got
it.
To tell everyone kind of how I really felt. Dean Ambrose makes a surprise return.
Yeah.
And the number one most important thing was, your hair looks stupid, Dean's haircut is funny. I go, that's what you got from this promo? Like, the two guys are like pouring their hearts out. This one guy who's been rehabbing for 7 months comes out, cleans house, and what we get was, man, Dean's hair looks funny. Dolph's got funny looking hair. Like, dude.
Do you mean on Twitter?
What
are you referring
to?
The Twitterverse?
I mean social media, which because I don't pay a huge amount of attention to it, but it is a genuine part of our business these days. So I check it out, and it's like, man, that guy busted his ass for 7 months to come back, look like a jacked million bucks, and come do his thing. And it's like, once in a while, go, hey, that was a cool part of wrestling history, or this didn't make any sense to me, but whatever. But it's like, that's what I got. Your hair's funny. Dean's hair's funny. I go,
yeah. Well, that's why
this was a pretty cool special 15-minute segment of the main event go home for SummerSlam, and I thought everyone played their parts pretty damn well.
Yeah, no, I would say that this podcast, the Comedians Wrestling Facebook group, is I know it sounds like I'm plugging it, but I'm not. But I'm saying like the response in there, we have a live thread going, and it's kind of like a moderated group where we cut out like the noise. What I'm saying, but the response in there was very very positive for that segment, and no one was saying. We comment on the promos,
I get
and
it.
People. And the
you guys are super Marky Mark stuff, which and that's not always in a bad way. I mean, like you're getting down to the meat and potatoes of everything and like, how this was
Dean
cool or how
great.
This was bad.
Everyone's like, Dean looks great. Clearly, he's been getting in shape and thinking about how he wants to come back and rebrand himself and the way he wants to do it. I think that, and then my texts coming in about when people know you're coming in, have all been saying that they dug the promo a lot last night.
It was fun.
But I think no one's coming. I think last night, if I refer to just you specifically, it was also you had a little more. The character felt a like you're going for something new. With the chewing the gum, like there is an element of it that is, I don't know how to describe it because I don't want to just be like, here's what it is, and then you're like, I have a completely different vision for
what
maybe, this
is. But that's fine. That's how people take
it. But it is like 80s bad guy, which if I ever talk to people about you, I'm like, yo, that's his deal. I'm like,
my real life persona is an 80s bad guy, and I sometimes get to play that character on TV.
Yeah.
My real life, yeah.
I love it. And then you're like the douchebag thing. I think you were leaning into the douche last night in a way that was really great. But then I also like how it came down to serious, and the points are authentic. Like,
yeah,
I think anything
awesome.
Wrestler's like, here's my character, and he might have some fun flair to it.
Right.
But then here's the authentic core.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what you were hitting on, which is you and Drew. When you and Drew were like beat up last night, just laying on the ramp, right? I'm like, it is true. Look at these fucking guys. It's clear these guys work their asses off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
to be where you are. I mean, Drew, you easily could have not been the Intercontinental Champion again.
Yeah,
right.
Very
based
easily.
On the fact that you've been there a longer time. There's newer guys coming up.
Yeah, sure.
But you worked your way to a place of let's call it relevance for lack of a better word, where it's like, yeah, you're still working hard, but you can always be plugged into that spot. That matters. And Drew got fired.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And
it's very true.
Guys look like a fucking $1 million. There's no wasted day in the gym.
Yeah.
Thinking about what the character is. So I think that's what you guys were speaking to, which connects to me. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah. And if you were wrong, I would tell you. Or you can't be wrong. It's your opinion. But I would say like, oh, well, I was kind of going for this. But that's it. Yeah. Like we pride ourselves on busting our ass, but also the entire roster.
Is there some real anger there?
Oh, okay. Genuinely.
There's some genuine anger of like. People who do you guys, you and Drew, do you feel like there are people happy to just collect a paycheck?
Absolutely, but that's life. Like if you're a garbage man or you work in a library or there's going to be 5% of the people that are your close friends, 5% are your enemies, and 90% of the people in the middle. But it's like Everyone on this roster.
His library enemies?
Yeah, I guarantee it. Oh, getting the weekends off all the time? Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
But it's just.
Cynthia downstairs. Sometimes she puts the books in backwards.
Yeah, or on purpose.
Yeah.
Just so you got to recalculate the card catalog. I'm sure it's all digital now. I don't know.
She doesn't respect the Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah. Okay. That's the one we finish on.
Yeah,
Dewey Decimal.
Yeah, okay, good. We nailed it. But you're saying, yes, that's like any job where there's people who are complacent. Yeah, that's what you're
But in this job, as much as. I've been crazy over the last 10 years when people go, yeah, but that's the hardest working guy in that company. Sometimes that's not, it's said about me, which is amazing because I've worked at other jobs where people slack off, do whatever. This job, people go out of their way every day to hit the gym, every day to go out of their way to be nice to somebody in an airport, and then go out there and go, I have 3 minutes tonight or I have 30 minutes. I am going to bust my ass. Because one, you want to get better. One, you want to be a better spot at all times. Even if you're the champ, you want to go, I want to be the champ for the next 2 years or something. So you right. constantly have these little goals to go through. And everybody's busting their butts. And I love that. I live for it. When I'm on a movie set or doing a show and someone goes, man, there's a lot of real jerks in show business. But anytime it's a WWE guy or one of your the female superstars, they are above and beyond humble and nice and great and then go out there and kill it. And I go, that is... this crazy, like that is how it really is back there.
Yeah.
So for the fact that there is this tiny handful that we can go, this guy's not working out. He's coasting. Let's call him out on his shit.
Right. And there, you have specific guys in mind. I won't ask you to name names.
Absolutely. But
I mean,
of course,
we could see him.
But there is a tiny handful of people who are not busting their ass in that ring every night.
Right.
And a lot of times there's someone say like a Heath Slater or a Zack Ryder you might only see on Main Event, you might only see in the dark match. Those guys are busting their butts and they're busting their butts to get on our show.
Yeah.
And it's like you feel for them because I gravitate toward people who want to be the best and want to be awesome. And a lot of times, sometimes that guy is a Randy Orton type who's a 25-time champion, and sometimes it's a guy who can't get out of the dark match.
Yeah, I mean, so... you know, the people who listen to this podcast are pretty fucking marquee, so it's kind of this thing where there's a deep appreciation for, like, Curt Hawkins and Slater on here.
Of course.
We see, like, yo, getting over that gimmick of the kids gimmick and the losing streak gimmick, like, that. Not everyone can do that. So we have an appreciation for that. But I always think about, like, guys, you know, the guys you just mentioned, let's say, like, they traveling to a city. You get there and you do nothing on the show.
Yeah, it's
brutal.
It's very disheartening, and it's
because I've toured doing improv. I've toured where I get there.
I know I'm doing in public, but
yeah. Can we, Sarah? Can we edit that out?
Three, two.
Okay, yeah. And we'll start again at three, two, zip, zap, zop. So so we get to. I'm saying, but I know I'm going to perform. I can't imagine just.
There is a good, there's a chance that 12 people, I'm just guessing, are not on the show. And then there's someone like me in the craziest of ways. I've been in trouble backstage. I've messed up before. I've also done some great things. And then I've been told, like, and there's a couple weeks that go by where I'm not on TV. And I go, what the hell is going on? And then you got to imagine someone who's working just as hard as you, someone who's probably taller than you,
right.
and probably sometimes way more jacked than you, and they're not even on the show on a weekly basis. But it's got to be crushing.
Yeah.
And so I've been hilariously fortunate to almost always be doing something, and it's almost to a in a negative way to where I never go away, but it's. It's, man, to show up and say you're not on the live events, say you're not bringing a big paycheck home and you show up Monday at TV and they go, yeah, we don't have anything for you. And you have to go, man, what the hell can I do? So then maybe you got to go pitch some ideas. Maybe it makes you hit the gym harder. Maybe it makes you go, hey, I got to go talk to Vince and tell him I need to do something right now and here's why. But, you know, it's a scary thing and it's rough, man. But it's show business.
Yeah.
So not everybody wins and not the best people are, you know, winning the Emmys, you know, sometimes they're on CISO or something, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, R.I.P. R.I.P. CISO. CISO. I have some questions from the listeners. I want to make sure I get to
them. Are these all going to be from your diary or something? It's like,
these are from my
Dan
diary.
B.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Writes.
This is from Donnie Capri. Oh, yeah. No. That's
RKO
my...
lover. Dan B.
Oh, yeah. Wait, how involved are you in the record scratch? As a I got a couple of questions about the records, Greg.
It's a very interesting thing. A little bit. The original idea was from the top, and I have on several different occasions offered to modify it a little bit. And I'm well aware that we're not playing vinyl records backstage, which is a fair point and joke. But but also in my head, I'm a wrestling fan, at least deep down, to where you get Mick Foley's car crash, Stone Cold Steve Austin breaking glass. It is not along those lines in any way, shape, or form, but it is something that lets people know, oh, that's Dolph's music's about to play. So after 13, or I don't know, I may have had a second song like 7 years ago or something, I don't know, when I switched from my imperfection to what it is now, to go, at some point, I can't just change my character in the ring. I can't just go from trunks to pants and then just go and just keep playing the same song. I appreciate that there's some different aspect to it. Like, there's a record scratch, like, hey, the show's stopping right now because I'm coming out. And that's how the way I go to see it. Like, that's the way I want to feel. It's like, you know that without looking up that I'm coming out.
Yeah.
And it's different than when I was coming out 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Cool. I like that. I think the psychology of the record scratch is cool. It kind of shifted.
Yes.
And then
it's been modified several different times. And I've been caught off guard a few times. But I think the way we have it for the most part is record scratch. Here comes Dolph. Here comes this psychopath with him, and I think it works out pretty well.
Love it. What's your relationship with Drew like?
Friends with benefits.
Oh, okay. All right, you heard it here first, guys. Ziggler and Drew McIntyre are sleeping together.
He's
casually.
So I'm not close friends with a lot of people, very few. And when he was here the first time,
backstage or in life,
both.
Okay.
Very much both. So.
Well, you're always traveling.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. A handful of friends, and I like it that way. I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I like doing my own thing. It's fine. But randomly, so people are going to get fired, and people are going to come back. You're going to meet the same people on the way up as you do on the way down. I've heard that for 20 years. And he was someone who, a couple of times out in Florida, like we hung out and grabbed beers and you know, like him, Sheamus, like the United Kingdom group, and like Wade Barrett kind of always hung out. So I was sometimes around those guys, you know, hanging out and have a couple beers or something. So we got along great, but we didn't hang out at all. I don't think I had his number. I don't think anything like that. But when he came back, it's like, this is Nick and not Dolph cutting a promo. He is laser focused on genuinely ridding the roster of half-assers.
Oh, I fucking love it.
He is a friggin' Terminator, and he means it, and everything he says, he means, and the look in his eye is great, and he looks like he's 7 feet tall and made out of steel. It is amazing, and I hope that we do something along the lines of, like, evolution to where we go another year or 2 years.
An all Jack guy pay-per-view?
Yes. We're, like, yes. No, I'm at
only guys
the group.
Who work out.
Yeah. Only Jack guys and shirts and skins.
Yeah.
And I hope we go to something to where it's a year or two where they're so invested in what we're doing and we continue to have, like, modify our characters on the microphone. So in one day when I go, get out of here, you idiot, and he looks at me, just one little look out of the corner of his eye, and the place goes, oh. And then you build 6 months later to where he picks me up and slams me through a table and walks away as the hottest baby face in the company.
Yeah.
Hopefully that investment. So far, we've had chance after chance to talk, to speak, to be in main events, to do pay-per-view matches. Hopefully we just continue to invest in that, and he one day is going to break me in half and go on to win the Universal title, and I hope it is in 2 years.
Yeah.
Because we can go really far with this.
Yeah, that's awesome. One way to get him pissed off at you is you can strap a Chanel bag to his little purse bag that's on his duster. You ever seen that?
His duster.
You know he rocks a duster?
He
literally has a purse. It's a purse strap,
because there's
but
like
no
a chain
purse.
With no. Yeah, I've seen the chain.
Looks like a Chanel purse. Anyway.
I'm not into the brand loyalty when it comes to purses.
You guys, this podcast is sponsored by Chanel number 5.
Oh, the good stuff.
I don't know. Is that the good one?
I don't know. It's from like a movie 30 years ago.
Number 1 through 4 sucks. All
right. Yeah, right?
Yo, this is a follow-up question from the last time you were here. Does the Diesel Sean comparison bother you? with you and him?
No, because a lot of people have compared me to Big Kev, and I get that all the time, and it's... no, you know what? It was the weirdest thing. Like, they go...
Because I think it's a good thing. I think it's great that they're like...
But everybody's... So, last night... So my hair was flat ironed because I'm a big glam metal rock guy. And guess what everyone said? I can't believe you're copying Shawn Michaels, Jericho, and Triple H. I go,
what?
People have flat ironed their hair before and not everything's wrestling. I'm like, when's the last? I go, oh, did they wear stonewashed jeans and a pineapple shirt? Like also, like everybody has done everything ever and when it comes to clothing for the most part. So who the hell cares?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So but when it comes to that, I get it. But at first, all we did was walk down to the ramp and everyone goes, oh, Sean and Diesel. And I go, why? Because one of us is taller? We didn't talk or do a move yet. Why did you say that? Because a taller guy and I get compared to Sean. Got it. We didn't do anything yet. But I don't know that that's exactly the same character, but I get it. We're both good. We're going to be awesome. And the team clicks really quickly. And it's I'm fine with it because all people do is compare you to everything else that had already happened in the Attitude Era. And that's totally okay. But, you know.
Yeah.
Enjoy what you're watching and then compare it later.
Well, now we're in the bad attitude era. But yeah, no, I think that it's just
bad attitude era?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you kidding me? Bro, Zack Ryder coins it the gratitude era because we're all just happy to be here, which I really enjoy.
That's really
because
funny.
We don't get into trouble.
He's going to save that for Saturday, for Friday night, midnight at Carillon.
We'll yeah.
Well, or maybe he can come spoiler. Saturday night at Caveat Midnight also.
Maybe, yeah,
weekend.
Either way.
SummerSlam
a lot of
weekend
midnights.
Shows.
SummerSlam Tacular anniversary.
And DZ and Friend. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. All right. Here's my next question for you.
You don't always have to say that.
Okay, I'll segue
Does that throw
this
you off?
I'll segue this smoother.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if you were coming in. Okay, so I thought this together, and I got some great questions. All right,
like six
you got to go. By the way, I didn't.
Right, I feel like I have to.
Okay. Anyway, guys, Dolph's got to go.
Yeah.
All right, let me get this question in.
Finally.
Okay.
Do you have any other questions
countdown?
For me?
Hold on, let me think about it. Extreme Rules.
Okay.
You versus Seth Rollins.
Yeah, I was there.
Iron
correct.
Man match.
Yes.
Crowd counting down.
The death of the Iron Man match?
The death. Well, an Iron Man match, it's 30 minutes. Does that annoy you also? Because can it be an Iron Man match if it's only 30 minutes, not an hour?
First of all, can you imagine an hour of those countdowns? I would have walked to the back.
So they really got on your skin?
No, it's I get it. I get having fun.
You're main
fun.
Eventing a pay-per-view. It's the first time that the IC title has main evented
right?
It was like a pay-per-view
eight
like 15 years
or 15
years.
Or
like that.
Yeah. So a couple things. One, I will always stand by WWE Universe can do whatever the hell they want, and I appreciate that. We are a live show. We're a live pay-per-view, live events, you name it. They can boo. They can cheer. They can boo Cena. They can say he sucks. They can cheer me.
Is that your opinion? Do you think Cena sucks? Can we get that on the record?
If he sucked, he wouldn't be like a 25 million time champion or something.
I'm sorry. They can do
actually, that
they
doesn't
want.
Really matter. But like, yeah, you know, he does not suck. But you have that option to do whatever the hell you want, and we encourage that. And I will live and defend that to the end. It's almost like Second Amendment. You know, I'll defend it.
Okay.
Do whatever the hell you want to do.
All right. Wow. No.
Yeah, I like that you gave me the eye. Like, anybody.
Uh-oh.
Anybody.
You made this too political now.
Yeah.
All right, we got to chop that
all
out.
All the amendments are great.
I'm going to lose all my left-wing listeners.
No, it's anybody can do, like, without hurting someone or doing whatever the hell they want, can do whatever they want, and that's what we encourage it, and it's great. It took away from making that match something special. Two, I tried at a point. I was trying to make things happen in between the countdowns after the buzzer instead of doing them when they needed to be done. So it made the match not as smart, not as psychological, not as great. And then also, had that been an hour, it would have been a disaster, I think, because either they would have got tired of doing it. And like, and there's certain parts to where I'm a big psychology guy, whether some people believe it or not. And I focus on, like, here's where I want here, and if I don't have it, I got to go here, I got to do this. There was a huge chunk of that where I'm winning, and I put in both legs like I did in college to ride him out and watch the clock and choke him out and just sit there and win.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And the countdown's happening, and then they took it off the screen, so I don't have anything to watch. I don't know how much time's left. And then, which is fine. I'm still doing it and voicing that opinion in the ring, which is great. But when they took it off, they did instead of every minute doing a countdown, every 20 seconds they did a countdown. So it made it worse. And I go, man, and I felt bad because a lot of people were doing it, but like, people had begged and pleaded because there's a social media report that goes behind the scenes, and they go, here's what they liked, here's what they didn't like, here's what Twitter liked, whatever. They were so excited. Please don't put Roman in the main event with no title on the line. Give the IC title a chance. And somehow they gave us a chance to go on last with the title on the line, with a chance to make this beautiful Iron Man match happen.
Oh, yeah. I remember when the AJ match was right before it, right?
Yeah.
And the AJ Rusev match. Yeah. And when that started, I was like, wow, this is amazing. That match, your match. I was just excited to know that your match was the main event.
And
I was like, can you believe this?
So were we. And I didn't think, I was like, in my head, I go, Roman's not fighting for a title. Man, I bet we got a chance.
When do you find that out?
It's different all the time, dude.
Sometimes mid-show?
I've been at major, usually not, no. Okay. Maybe. It's last minute sometimes. I've been on major shows like a SummerSlam or a WrestleMania, and you thought you were first and you were seventh. But things change all the time. That's how it works. It's fine. But the people that are you, the internet, like Mark fans who dissect everything and go, please give us this match. And we gave it to them. And they said, fuck you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're completely allowed to, and I love it, and that's fine. But it was just a special time. And by the way, this is like the third time I've been telling some interview, like, they begged to not have Roman last. By the way, I was in a singles match against Roman all weekend. He's great. I love being in the ring with them, having the crowd be all over him or cheer him or not. So, like, I don't always clarify when I'm like, God, thank God we don't have Roman last. Like,
shoot on Roman.
Roman's
on.
The guy.
Tell us how you feel about Roman.
No,
come
get
on.
The hell out. I'm telling you right now. Like, and I would love to be like, oh, this guy, I'm so sick,
you like
of,
the best?
So sick of him.
Does it bother Drew that he gets to wear a vest? Honestly,
I think.
I mean, I don't want you to
Drew,
speak for Drew, but
I would never
speak
for Drew.
Like,
but
his, I know it bothers his character.
Yeah,
that I got, like, Drew gets. You guys get out there and you got to be shirtless, which there's a lot that goes with that. It sounds superficial,
yeah.
But if you got to be shirtless on television,
yeah,
that's a big deal.
Sure.
I gotta go shirtless at my nephew's pool party.
Yeah.
I'm worried about taking my shirt off.
I can see that.
Well, you know.
You go in the pool with a shirt on?
Yeah.
No, never. What happened? You for a while you had biceps and you were looking.
I look like shit.
What happened?
Right?
You look fine.
I've been in New York City all summer, so it's a lot of bagels. You know what I mean? It's a lot of bagels. If you put a Jew in New York City, they're going to eat too many bagels. So it's I'm carbing up.
You're allowed to carb up a little bit. Just do a little cardio, man.
I know. I'm looking fat, right?
No, you don't look fat, but I'm disappointed because for a while you were constantly texting me and my brother about advice for it and doing your protein shakes.
No,
and
I do.
This guy's busting out of his medium shirt. That's great.
I know. Yeah. No, bits aside, I do hit the gym a little bit, but being in New York is throwing me off a little.
I don't get this being in New York. This is like...
It's
not a good excuse.
There's no excuse.
Dude, you know, I was in California. I can't be working out. Like, what the hell is that even mean?
Where was Raw last night?
I don't know.
I mean, you came in here. You take a quick. I mean, it's, yeah. I mean,
where
I
was I?
What? Well, that's actually part of what I really like about wrestling. Like,
I don't know where I was yesterday.
I mean,
where was I?
Yes, I don't remember where Raw was.
Crap.
I don't know.
I feel like you would know. No, that wasn't a bit.
I thought it was Boston, but that's where you're doing comedy.
No,
you weren't in Boston.
No, that's not right.
You actually don't know. You just get on the plane. Do you book your own tickets and stuff?
No, they do that. When I do side projects like me going to Boston, I'm going to take a train to Boston.
Right. You're going to stand up in Boston.
Back, yeah.
This will come. It's tomorrow night, right?
Yeah.
So Wednesday night, August 15th. You're doing it.
Laugh
Sarah
Boston,
Tiana.
Sarah Tiana. She's fantastic. She's gotten me a lot of bookings.
Yeah.
We went head to head on the roast battle and beat each other up. Looking forward to seeing her again.
I know. I want to ask you about that.
I always act like it's so great for you to go, I want to ask this thing. Like you're fighting yourself.
No. All right.
Because
I figured I was going
to
ask you about comedy stuff when we were done with wrestling. But that's fine. Let's get
when
to
are we done with wrestling?
No. Okay. We could be done with wrestling.
All right. Great.
We could be done. All right. I just promised the listeners I would ask some of their questions to you, so I want to. That's why I want to
get some listeners. Like they're the lifeblood of the industry; they keep you going every day. Get to the listener questions.
Okay, ready? We'll give you a couple because I can't guarantee they won't be. Actually, I got a comedy one. We'll ask you last, and then we'll go into the comedy question. But answer this question quick. Does it bother you that Roman wears a vest because you got to be shirtless?
No, and by the way, I wear T-shirts a couple years ago all the time for fun because I'm like, oh, everyone's shirtless. I'll wear a T-shirt. The fact that the tactical vest is part of who the Shield was,
would you like to wear a tactical vest?
Absolutely not.
Would that make your life easier?
No.
Would you be able to have bagels with me?
No. But man, Einstein Bagels, I think, has chocolate chip bagels that taste like chocolate chip cookies, I bet. But
Einstein's Bagels?
Yeah.
Come on, man. I'm not eating that.
I'm not in New York. I don't really
know. Yeah, I'm not eating that. Come on, man. That's like McDonald's.
You don't like McDonald's? Their fries are great.
You eat McDonald's?
Sometimes, yeah. Jeez, a lot of times it's 2 a.m. A lot of times it's 2 a.m. I'm driving on the road. I'll get three McDoubles with a lettuce wrap, and I will eat them.
Oh,
and,
nice. That's good to know.
That's good to know that you can do it. Just McDonald's now does, a lot of them are 24 hours. I'm constantly driving at 2, 3 in the morning, and you can't always, you know, just have a protein shake or go sit down somewhere. Like, you want to get the hell out of there and get to the city.
Do you always rent a Camaro? What?
That's pretty funny. No, what sucks is, like, most rental places don't have the convertible Camaro available. So, like, what the hell's the point?
Is Dolph Ziggler ever traveling in, like, a minivan? Because that's all they had.
By the way, I grew up driving my parents' minivan, and I loved it.
Yeah.
I used to go home and drive it, and I thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
Room for activities.
Yeah.
So,
arts and crafts and stuff.
Yeah, in the back, yeah. You set up a ring. Yeah. Okay, cool, good. All right, okay, here's a couple questions from the listeners. Okay?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. What do you think is the most important attribute to have if you want to have a long career in WWE? And have you ever crossed paths with someone who you knew wouldn't last long based on a particular trait?
That's a great question, but I'll answer that second part first. Like, there's been tons of times where someone debuted and there was a lot put into it, and there was a lot of people on top going, it was their project, and I go, this doesn't make any sense. This can't work. Cut to 6 months later, they're the champ and they're going on. Like, so you never really know, because the business is.
Same in comedy. There's times where I'm like, this guy's like bombing, and then they're like big.
Yeah. And sometimes it's talent and sometimes it's who they're going with. But there's a million times I've watched, and I'm like, whoa, this guy's great. This is awesome. And then you go, oh, he's not doing anything right now. Maybe in a year or two, but there's been a couple of huge debuts with people pushing it behind it, a big friggin' deal. And I go, I don't see it other than he's the person that's in that spot. And sometimes they've gone on to long careers or not. What is a huge factor is, which I've had some problems with in the past, is you got to play nice sometimes, and sometimes you got to stand up for yourself. And I've been known to stand up for myself behind the scenes too many times. And by the way, standing up for myself, I usually mean for on the side of psychology or what makes sense or what I can help with. But I don't always know the long-term picture. So I'm fighting my battle without always knowing what the end result will be. So keep your head down and take the advice. But also remember, a bunch of people giving you advice don't know what the hell they're talking about. And there's a reason they're not the world champion. So you take it with a grain of salt. You take your licks. And once in a while, when you got to stand up for something that you think, this is something huge that I need to stand up for, you got to do it. And there's a couple times, a couple years ago, where I was like, damn it, I needed to tell this person to go to hell. I'm doing what I want. And I didn't. And then there's a couple times where I shouldn't have. And I said, no, this is my call. I'm doing it.
Anything that you can say specific? Like anything, a time? Or is it too much?
There was a time where there was a meeting without going into any details, and we're like, no one's stepping up, which we've had before. People need to step up and do their thing. Step on some toes. Tell some people to go to hell. Go out there and go follow that, which I was already doing when I came back.
Right.
I've come back through Gorilla and went, follow that, and then follow with the swear word, for real, and then walking through. Because I was so amped up and wondering why I wasn't doing something. But sometimes that rubs people the wrong way, which I understand.
Yeah.
But we had a meeting. Step on some toes. Go above and beyond. Tell everyone to go to hell. Make yourself the best. And I, within a few days of that meeting, made a judgment call to go over on time, to do something that I thought made sense, that ended up really working and clicking out in the ring, and came to the back, got in trouble, and said, you told me to go out there and step on some toes, and if you felt with it, go with it. And they're like, well, yeah, but, you know, not that time. And you go, okay, I don't know, then I can't just guess
from my perspective, that's
so that
so
happens
confusing.
Sometimes. And it is, but that's, I mean, that's life. That happens. And please tell me some great thing about Stone Cold. What do you got? Please say what you're going to say, because I got something ready.
Oh. Well,
not
saying,
an example, but
I
tell me, what do you got?
Stone Cold... I saw him doing, maybe it was the one time when he had Ambrose on.
Okay.
And he did like one of those podcasts, post-Raw podcasts.
Yeah.
And he, you hear the stomps of improv students.
Oh my God, that's so great. Are they doing like, I'm a banana and peel the banana?
They're doing like follow the follower, where like somebody does one thing, and when you're in class, that just means whoever's the craziest person in the class just dictates what you're all doing.
Oh my God.
Anyway, Stone Cold thing where he's like, you know, these guys are not grabbing the brass ring.
Sure.
And then I'm sitting there being like, they're getting literally scripted promos, not bullet pointed at all. That's documented. Everyone knows that. You're literally getting a script.
Yeah.
You get in trouble for going over on time. It's now a PG show.
Yeah.
And it's like, where's the room to do anything?
I don't understand. There's been a handful of times where I went with my gut in a promo situation.
Yeah.
And had people that I respect and mentors go, damn, that was awesome. And then got pulled aside and said, that is not exactly what was supposed to be said. Don't plan on talking for a while. Okay.
Right.
So, but you have to take those.
They turn the mic off.
Quit? No, I'm just.
Oh, yeah.
Relax.
You want to shoot on Punk here?
No, I'm not shooting at anybody.
You want to talk about his UFC losses?
No.
Okay. I'm like, yeah, man.
But you have to choose your battles, and sometimes you will choose, and you go, damn it, I made the right call. Hell yeah, this is great. And go, nope, that's not what I wanted, and you're done. But it is easy for people who aren't in the locker room to go, well, damn, kid, just go out there and get yourself over. And you go, that's not exactly how it works. There is some semblance to that, to where you go, okay, I'm going to do it. And if the lightning strikes in the bottle that day and you think it's great and the crowd thinks it's great and all the bosses think it's great, you still might not get anything out of it.
Yeah.
But that's the life of being in showbiz. It is not attitude era, go out and do whatever the hell you want. And sometimes it rocks, and you've got it, and you're the guy.
Well, that's why I...
That is not the case.
The third time I bring up that Survivor Series match for you.
Okay.
Because I was like, cool. I think it's just a great example of, you did that on your own. You got over in there where you were like dead and just popping up, zigzagging, getting
pinned.
Now,
to be fair, I didn't put myself in that match.
Right, but
you know what I mean. So
I there
is a company behind you putting you in that position. So don't
you get the
write
heat,
that part off.
Right, but I'm saying you got the heat you got in that match.
Yes,
and then the next, no one even remembers what happened after that.
Sure.
Like they didn't ride that lightning. So it's like you grab the brass ring. You have a moment where you have a big time moment. Cesaro's had a couple moments like that where you're like, wow, boom, there's his time. And then if the writing doesn't go consistent with it, that, and then you can watch Roman, who doesn't matter how much he fails, he just continues to get to main event anything. Like,
but it's that's,
I mean,
also,
I'm not asking you to comment on the Roman thing. I'm saying from a fan's perspective.
But
like,
when you know he's the chosen guy, that's it. And like I said, if there was something that he was half-assing or doing wrong, or I was embarrassed that he was the guy, I'd be backstage going, hey, listen, man, you step this shit up, or I'm not out here busting my ass for you just walk in and just keep doing whatever you want. But that is not the case.
No, he works his ass off because he has to.
So you have to remember that, though. So we are, that is our generation Cena, so you have to understand and respect that. And if I didn't respect him, I would bring it up to him and go, get the hell out of my locker room or some shit like that. But that is not the case. We're all working to a goal to do that. So that is a situation. So, and by the way, I didn't just beat five guys by myself. It was a wrestling show where I was at, you know, where I was in that position. Now, long term, clearly they could have capitalized on it. But in show business, sometimes they don't. And the plan was, wow, that was awesome. We could really go somewhere with this. And they decided not to.
Right.
And it hurts, because you're like, whoa, I did all this work when no one cared. Now you add all this work in with them caring. Holy shit, this is going to be something special. And it wasn't. And it bums you the hell out. And you go, what did I do wrong? Shit, I didn't do anything wrong that night. I'm not the guy. Someone else is the guy. And once in a while, you get that chance to do it. And if you every 2 years get a chance to have that Survivor Series thing and you deliver, one day you get to step in the spotlight, or one day you don't, but you go out knowing you did everything you could.
Right. And that's kind of the beauty of what you and Drew have going.
And I'm saying it really politely, but it's like, it, you know, pisses you off that you're not in that spot.
Right.
It, big time. But I've had years and years to deal with it, but it's like, you want to be there. And sometimes, no matter what you do, you will not be there. But that's in comedy, that's in movies, that's in life, that's in business, anything.
Do you think about, like Sunday, you don't know who's going to win yet, right?
Right.
You don't know. Do you think about that means, like, okay, forget the actual champ, the title of champion.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean within the company, which is like, all right, well, they're gonna ride you out, like, longer, you know, as, like, a top guy getting bigger segments. Is that something that sits with you, like, all week where you're like, this Sunday is, like, a moment where it's like, are they just going to throw it back on Seth?
Honestly, I wasn't even thinking about that at all. I was thinking, like,
I was pivoting a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
what I mean?
No,
but
I get it.
But, yeah.
I'm not going into that thing. Because how much our show, excuse me, on a daily basis changes during the day, it could be a fly-by-the-seat-of-the-pants day. It could be we've been going with this for 6 months. We're going to keep capitalizing. You never know. So I'm focusing on Sunday, having this match, tear down the house. But
yeah,
that's fine, but also making it mean something that Seth can't take out two guys by himself, but now he's got this guy. But him and Dean's two-thirds of the Shield. It's not the Shield. So what's the story there? What are we doing? Drew can beat the hell out of everybody,
yeah,
and I'm enough of a slime ball that we can have the lunatic come out and go crazy, and we throw him into a wall, and I hold the tights and roll up Seth, and we get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
So anything can happen, and I have to be ready for all the different scenarios. I have to run through all the different ways that I can find some dirtbag way of not just winning a title and hanging on to it, but going, damn it, they were so close. Maybe Monday he'll get a rematch. That's to push that story forward. And I don't even, like, I don't know what the story is. I don't know anything going into Sunday.
Right.
And I won't know anything going.
You won't know till Sunday.
Nope, but I will have every, because my job as a ring general is to know everything ahead of time, have all the options ready, give everything I can to go, okay, now we can start plugging in and making this a story.
What time are you going to get in Sunday? Do you know?
I think I have a 9 a.m. appearance or something.
Jesus.
So I'll probably do that appearance and then go right to work, and it'll be a long day.
Wow, maniac. All right.
I'm already tired for the week, and it's the first day.
I know, dude. But I'm saying, back to my original point, like, what I say, there is an element of, that sounds, whatever, it's corny and makes me like a little kid, but there's,
yeah,
professional wrestling, it does inspire me. I look at wrestlers and how hard they work. I'm like, I can work harder,
yeah,
for my things.
Well, that's,
you know,
and you can see it with that. Like, I go to LA Fitness.
I love you.
Yeah.
Shit. You're like, yo, why? You said you were, like, you hold me accountable.
Yeah.
And you hold yourself accountable.
Absolutely.
So when you,
yeah,
say it to me, it will spark me to be like, yo, I got to be like, you know, I got, it can't just be when I'm in LA, I have my workout routine.
Right.
And then I, you know what I mean?
I get
it,
man.
You pop
in
any gym. You say you pop in. Yeah, you say LA
Dude,
Fitness.
So I'm saying,
you eat healthy at McDonald's, bro.
You can in a pinch. Yeah, long term, I wouldn't do that every
yeah
day, but you can do it. But
I'm saying you do it.
Yeah, I kind of. But I'm just saying LA Fitness at home, and I go, and I'm like, I came in here. I flew in, landed at 9:30. By 10:15, I was at the gym. I was like, if I wasn't going to New York, I would have went home. I would have landed in Phoenix at 9:30 or something. 10:30, the latest, I would have been in the gym just going to get it done for that day. But I also, I'm there, and there could be some soccer mom busting her ass on the elliptical next to me, and I go, damn it, man, I am not working hard enough. Turn it up a notch,
yes,
go. Or you see someone with like one leg busting their ass on a treadmill, and you go, I thought I was getting this extra workout in when everyone else is sleeping. Screw this. I need to take it up a notch. So if you don't see those every single day in your life, whether it's working out or getting better at comedy or sharpening some skills,
yeah,
then you get complacent without knowing it. And
no,
it's nuts.
Absolutely. And I work, I can, I don't say, saying, I don't like ever being like, I work really hard, because that's like,
it's so weird,
you know,
to say.
It's weird to say, you
yeah
work harder. But I mean, I'm out till 3 in the morning doing comedy,
yeah,
a lot, not, many nights, and then I'm up early working, preparing. You're
right,
coming in, I'm preparing for that. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. Yeah, you got to come in here, man. You're a fucking star. Okay.
Yeah.
I see champion. Didn't bring me the fucking title, but that's all right.
Saturday night, brother.
Yeah. But I'm saying that I feel like I can always do more. I never feel, and
if
that's,
you, the day you
my
don't,
wife, we're the same way. Our yeah relationship's kind of like, she's working her ass off. Like,
how
right
great
now
is it? You feed off each other, or
but
one
I
want to
be like The Rock. I want to live that.
Sure,
I want to do that.
We all want
the
to live that life.
I know.
So you got to, like, how can I, like, I used to see when I thought I was getting fired 5 years ago. I go, I am going to give everything I
Dude,
can.
When I first met
I'm
you,
be
you were like,
jacked
I'm out,
as
I'm
I can.
Out.
You never, because you never know.
Well, I'm sorry. Was that a reveal? Or
yeah.
Whatever? Like,
big reveal. Wait, what?
No, I'm saying, was that bad for me to say? I don't know if you told me that on the podcast that like 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. No, 5 years ago, when I'm like, man, I don't think they have anything for me. They've used me up. I think I'm done. And you never know. I'm like, hey, listen, do I want to sit the next 20 years working somewhere going, man, if only I had been a little bit more jacked or gave them this idea of this character that I am. So I made it a point. Every couple of years, my first 8 years here, I was like, shit, I think I'm getting fired. I don't want to be some guy who's lying awake at night, 50 years old, going, if I only would have pitched this and worked a little bit harder. Yeah. So you can't half-ass it. And then that's why everyone on that roster, both rosters, just have that attitude of, like, they want to go out to each other, but also you want to get into a bigger spot. So you're constantly pushing yourself. You see someone else go, man, that guy's jacked as hell, and, oh, he's going for a title, and I'm sitting here in a dark match. Damn
right.
It, you're right. I should have done that extra rep or something. And it just, you constantly feed off everyone else's energy.
Right. And there's a kind of a beauty in, like, compared to, like, regular sports, right?
Regular sports.
I hate them. Yeah,
regular
hate them.
Sports.
Boo, regular sports.
It's so funny. There's so many people like you that love professional wrestling and go, like,
but I also love theater and I love comedy.
I do too.
Yeah.
But there's so many people who love professional wrestling, like, profess their love for it and then go, oh, the Super Bowl's today, have a good sports game, guys. There's like, they like hate other other sports.
That's how I feel.
And that's so funny. That's funny to me.
I mean, hate is strong. I get that
you live your life without it, but
to me it's so narrow. I mean, that's where that stand-up clip that I put out there.
Which, by the way, I rarely acknowledge anything that you do well.
Thank you.
Except when you were getting in shape for a little while. And then when you're not, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
But it was a great, I will not give a spoiler to your set, which I'm sorry, but when you said, do you want to know who won the title match at WrestleMania 31?
Yeah.
And the punchline is fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
And it makes so much sense, and it shows your love of wrestling. Because I have to think, like, WrestleMania 31, I don't even know what city I was in yesterday. I'm like, WrestleMania 31, what is that? But I will not give away his punchline. But it is fantastic because it shows how much theater and coolness and different acting roles and everything you can think of goes into a professional wrestling show and match compared to playing a sport or something.
Yeah,
like that.
And basically all my sets,
which I really appreciate.
Saturday night at midnight, the UCB SummerSlam Tacular, the Comedians Wrestling SummerSlam
Tacular.
That my set is basically me just being like, here's why I like this thing, and basically being like, it's such a misunderstood thing. I believe it to be a very high form of art. I really believe that.
There's a bunch of us who treat it that way.
Yeah.
Like, how can I have two sentences in a backstage. How can I acknowledge that my character has changed this much? And when I go out there, what do I change in my outfit? What do I do differently? I know, I have Drew now. So anytime I get something, it should be because he helped me, so people hate my guts. And you're constantly tweaking everything, and it's so fun. It is it's improv, art, and theater all mixed in with combatants beating each other up,
and
people kind of see that after a while, and it's like it's pretty cool, man. And when something goes wrong, it's really awesome. I was at a tag match, Drew and myself versus Roman and Seth, and 30 seconds into our main event of a live event, which is probably usually 20 to 30 minutes, 30 seconds in, Drew hit the rope and it's exploded. The top rope in a ring exploded all the way around. He flipped out of the ring.
Oh, I saw that.
Luckily, he was fine, but I watched him hit it. I saw something exploded in the corner. He like cartwheeled out of the ring and fell on the floor. And I go, oh my God. Like, Drew's been back for 3 weeks and he's dead. I go, oh my God. Went over, but because he's made out of steel and some kind of Superman, he was fine.
Yeah.
But like, we had just started this match, and I go, well, it's going to be a little bit different than it was going to be, because it's just the two lower ropes that are 2 feet off the ground, and you're in this ring, and you go, that's where you got to go, oh, how can I do this? How can I do this thing where I'm going to get slingshot into this corner and eat this turnbuckle? Can I fly out of the ring? Can I do it? And you have to modify it. Like, no more shooting people off, and there's that improv aspect, plus being an athlete, to everything, and it was just so cool. Like,
that's awesome.
No one was hurt, so it was cool, but different things happen. People tweak their knees. People go, oh, my God, I can't feel my foot or something, and you go, don't worry, I'm a pro, I'm going to make this work. So on the fly, you're doing an improv show mixed with some theater. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's the only, like, what live theater is on television like that?
I don't know anything that's like that.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
And that's what my thing is, that sports, they're so narrow to me. Like, what
I get it.
There are cool moments in sports, but they're...
Did you do sports as a kid?
I played baseball, I rode the bench.
Where were you? You're New York, right?
Yeah.
New York kid. So you had to play like baseball.
Yeah,
I
played baseball. Like my dad made me play baseball, and then it was like my extracurricular. And like I sucked. I literally like rode the bench, and all I did was make everybody laugh. Like everyone really liked me.
Well, that's great.
You know what I mean? It was like,
well, you weren't taking their spot, so yeah.
No, absolutely. I literally did the book in baseball, and it was just to make the game go faster. It was there was some kind of psychology in my head that like if I keeping track of it, it goes like
that's
it's something
funny.
To do instead of just watching it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know.
That's funny.
Hey, question. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No. I played everything, and I love sports, and I'm not a psychopath. I don't do the fantasy stuff, but I like watching sports, man. I love playoff hockey. Half the time I don't know the guys, but it's so awesome. I don't know. Everybody has different things. You weren't an athlete
LeBron
guy.
I like LeBron opening that school. I thought that was
awesome.
I like that. That's my favorite part about sports is that like a
That's
guy like LeBron
cool.
matters a lot.
Yeah.
That he can open a school like that.
It's pretty nuts.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that.
I wish there were a handful more, but I like that it's our Cleveland or Akron guy, LeBron. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, yeah, you're probably a big LeBron guy. All right.
Hell yeah.
So, wait, here's my question about my – a selfish question.
Okay.
You ever show him that? Has Seth seen it?
Because
it's about him.
Yeah, I know. That's without any spoilers, but I have not shown him the set.
Okay, what a jerk.
But I want people to, come out and, pay to see it.
Yeah, they'll see it. Oh, Seth. Yeah, tell Seth to come Saturday night.
Well, I mean, we're mortal enemies, so I don't know that I'll see him.
Oh, not Seth. Tell, what's his name? Lopez? Cody? Kobe? Kobe? I don't know. They're your guys. Listen, man. I am only interested in your guys' kayfabe names. Okay, that's because they're beautiful. I want to be called. I need a kayfabe name. All right.
A lot of
I want to
times
talk to you about
I don't know people's names. Yeah, come on, man. And I do.
You gotta go. Yeah. I'm sorry.
But let's get to comedy. That's like the different part of this.
First off, I'll ask one listener question that'll parlay us into that, which is, what's your favorite SNL or Key and Peele sketch?
Whoa. Man, there's so many SNL ones. I'm going to go with the first thing that pops in my head is Massive Head Wound Harry is the first thing that pops in my head.
Yeah.
There's too many SNL sketches because I'm such a nerd that I used to watch them all the time. I used to do Nick at Night would show the first two seasons like 10 years later or something when I was a kid for an hour of it, and I started watching then. I've watched all of them. I think I've seen every episode of Saturday Night Live, some of them 20 times. I once was supposed to do Hans and Franz with a buddy of mine at a talent show in fourth grade, and I chickened out. I've met John Lovitz before, and it was like the greatest thing in the world because he was going to host Raw, so I had like an in to talk to him, and he was a sweetheart. And he performed like a friggin' that's my favorite sketch. He performed a friggin' Master Thespian that was never aired to me and my friend while we were having a drink at a comedy club when everyone else had left. Mind-blowing. And
That's
he was like
amazing.
A super nice guy, and I've invited him to wrestling shows, and he's invited me to comedy shows. It's so awesome.
That's amazing.
But there's 20 million SNL sketches. Key and Peele, I've seen the show a handful of times, and I like those guys, and I can't think of what sketch.
Aaron.
Aaron. It's more of a meme now.
All right.
I think,
well, you already gave it. You already said SNL. That's great.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. I'm an SNL guy.
So, like, you're a big comedy guy. I mean, look, you're a big-time wrestling superstar. I mean,
whoa, look at that.
To me, you're just Nick, man. Okay?
Yeah.
You're just a guy who texts me bits.
Yes.
Okay, when I'm trying to be serious.
Because I cannot be serious at any point in my life, at any point.
But, like, you're doing stand up comedy on the road. You're doing shows with Sarah Tiana. You're going to be doing, I mean, your Caroline show will be not a traditional stand up show, but hey, it's fucking Caroline's.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'll be doing stand up. Whatever the hell else happens, who knows? I'm still booking the card. We'll see what happens.
Well, but I think it's amazing whenever I talk to you about stand up, how the shift in you, where it's like you're like the Dolph Ziggler, Intercontinental Champion, then you're like, I'm an amateur at this thing.
Oh,
and
yeah,
such
that,
a respect
that,
for
that
it.
Blows your mind. Yeah, it's funny because there is.
That doesn't blow my mind. It's just,
no,
but
it's when I go, man, I'm scared shitless. I got to go on tomorrow, and I'm so scared. And you're like, what? Are you crazy? Like, but it's that.
Because I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, they're just going to go nuts to see you.
Right.
You're there.
Which is
you
the case.
Don't like.
Which is fine sometimes. Like this Caroline show, SummerSlam week, I mean, wrestling fans would be happy to see us. That's great. When I open for Sarah Tiana and I go, hi, guys, is anyone here know professional wrestling? And like two hands go up out of the 300 and you go, oh, shit, okay. So like that's where you really learn stuff. But also, if everyone's there and laughing before you, like when Seinfeld comes out on stage and everyone's already laughing and applauding, like he gets a little pass because he's earned it. So, but you get to this point where I can't learn from those wrestling fan shows. I'm happy to be there and get the reps in and get smoother, and maybe you get some riff out of it and some tag on something on the end. But I am such a nerd that I have people that are like, I'd love to do stand-up. Let's just go do it. Because you don't care because you don't have that crazy respect because I want to be good at it. They just go, I'll go do this. Who cares? And sometimes that I'm pretty sure everyone who knows me knows that that's not the rap with me because I'm a psycho because I want to be good and I don't want to disappoint fans. And I don't want wrestling fans who go, this guy's awesome, to come to the show and go, what the hell is this guy doing?
Right.
So that's that nerve. Plus, I need 5,000 reps to figure out what the hell I'm doing and I'm on like 15.
Right.
So that scares the shit out of me. But it gives me that feeling that I used to have with wrestling where I was like, my first match, I'm waiting on the apron going, oh my God, when I get in there, just take an arm drag. Okay, just get that. And
yeah.
I've done that when I'm walking up stage, like, just tell him this thing. Just tell him this thing. And you're like, nervous as shit, but it's so exciting. And when someone laughs at your joke or a pro comic tells you something was funny, you go, holy shit, like that was awesome. And it's like, once you get through it, you go, that was scary as shit. I can't wait to do it again tomorrow. Holy shit. Like, it's cool to have that feeling.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're similar in that regard. You know, like, I spent a lot of my time doing improv, learning improv, and it was a point to me where it was similar where you were at with wrestling, where when you were like, oh, I just want to do an arm drag like that, it was like, yeah, I just want to, like, do a great Harold. You
yeah,
know? I was like,
right.
Very, I was like, I got to get a Harold night. I got to do
yeah.
that. Like, I got, right? Like, that's the whole culture of improv, and
yeah.
all that stuff was really, I've never been, like, that was like, I'd say that when I was studying improv, it was the first time I ever felt like a student. In my
yeah.
life.
There you go.
I went through school. I already had an accounting degree from college.
Woo!
You know what I mean? And it was like, and then when I, yeah, Lil Flair.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ric Flair was my accounting teacher. And
I say that's awesome. Accounting degree from, like you go from college.
From college, yeah.
Oh, the
University of Delaware.
The degree was from college?
The degree was from college.
Is that in Wilmington?
It was, yeah.
Is it really?
Well, no, it's in Newark. The Wilmington is close.
Okay, good.
Newark, Delaware.
Newark.
Delaware.
I love it.
But I hit some point where I was like, you know what? I love doing improv. I still do improv. I did it last night. But there's a point where I'm going to still work hard at it when I do it. I have my moments when I do it. But I've hit some kind of ceiling where I'm like, oh, inspiration-wise, when I do stand-up, now I'm more of the student again. Even yeah. though I did stand-up for a while, and like I'm able to plug a lot of those skills over, it translates a lot easier than maybe some wrestling.
Maybe wrestling to stand-up, yeah.
Yeah. But I still, there is still like, I understand seeking inspiration in another place. Or
yeah,
something.
Of course.
Like, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I felt like, I'm like, not that I don't bust my ass, and not that I'm not learning something every day, and not that I'm not focusing on like how Van Damme killed somebody in a movie and how he took that, like, that's how I want to take a super kick and make mine stand out and be different. I see someone on TV and go, that's a character that could be trans, like some CW show can be, you know, into somebody's character that could help somebody out or some idea or something. But it is like you try and bring it over and it's but also you don't know, man, I don't know what the hell I'm doing and I won't for 5,000 reps. And
yeah.
it's so funny. But it scares the shit out of me.
Every time you go up, you're scared.
I'm scared.
So you can play literally.
I'm nervous for tomorrow. My hands are sweating.
Last night, you cut a promo, great promo, in front of over 20,000 people.
Little too
people.
Yelly. I needed to go a little more up and down and talk a little quieter. But the ideas and the story I thought were great.
Oh, you didn't like your control?
Yeah. I was.
You thought you were a little out of control?
I get so excited about saying something I believe to be so true that a lot of times I love the business so much and love what I'm saying so much that I yell, and I've been told about it before. And so I don't always agree, but last night I was so going, this is real, you motherfuckers, this is real, that I kept yelling, and you have to take it down and be casual and throw something away and get them leaning forward. And then when they do, then you tell them, you did this, and then you get back and then you
yeah.
take it down again. And I had a little
rhythm.
Trouble with that last night, and I'm a little disappointed because it could have been a really special thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you have, yeah, you, whatever. I thought it was great. You have to find your rhythm. I know how that feels.
But I will be scared to death. I have a show Wednesday night with Sarah in Boston. I will be scared to death going over my notes like a psychopath. My hands are sweating right now talking about the show because I'm so freaked out. But I could, like, we did a show in Rochester. We did a test run to see if she could open for me and I could have enough wrestling fans come in. And we almost sold the place out. I ended up doing 25 minutes, and it wasn't bad. It's not.
Oh, you sent me the time code.
Yeah.
That
I
was
did.
Awesome.
I go, holy shit, it was like 26:13.
I was like, you're going to send me the set? You're like, no.
Not a fucking chance.
You're like, I'll send you just a screenshot of how long it went.
No way.
From the recording.
But it's just, I go, okay, cool. And I learned an extra tag on something from there just that happened to me on the fly, and I wrote it down. And it was just, so it can be done. But I'm not, you know. I'm not dumb enough to go, oh, 25 minutes, cool. When do I get my Comedy Central stand-up special? I know that I could one day make that 25 into some badass 8, but it's going to take me 3 more years or 5 more years to get one set of badass stuff. But I'm a student. I love it. I want to get better, so screw it.
Okay, last thing, and then you're gone.
Good, because I got to pee real bad. You gave me this giant water.
I know, I got to pee also. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
But no, because you said Comedy Central, roast battle.
Oh, yeah, what the hell? Let's talk about that. Damn it, that was what a dream come freaking true.
Okay, I just want to say.
Crazy?
Why didn't you use any of my jokes? That's my first thing, I don't know.
Just so you know, a couple of my friends were very disappointed that I didn't ask them for anything, but the day of, I was doing my usual freaking the hell out.
Yeah.
And go, hey, man, or maybe you texted me something, and I was like, hey, I'm going to do this roast battle.
Yeah.
Can you help? Oh, I had.
No, you texted me some.
I had an idea which tied into Sarah and myself comparing it to the presidential election, and I thought it was great, and I couldn't make it stabbing and biting and F you enough. And so I asked you and my brother, and I have like comic friends, and they were like, you didn't ask me for anything? And I was like, well, I thought it'd be cheating. I didn't know the rules, but I had one idea that I thought could really make sense, and it had a lot of different attributes to both of us, and it ended up being...
She told me like a week before. I would have wrote a whole thing up for you.
I didn't know that was...
Free, baby.
I didn't want to be cheating, but also, I was like, oh, you can have a little help.
It's
and
not
you can,
cheating.
You can, yeah, I well, I know that now.
Yeah.
You like work some pieces in now and do some stuff, but I was like, also, none of it was, this is roast battle at midnight, biting, supposed to like have you fall down laughing or crying because you got burned so hard.
Yeah.
So none of it of that was of that nature, but I could move it into a stand-up set for sure.
Oh, the stuff I gave you, you mean? Or you just mean the stuff in general?
In general. But no.
I think
genuinely said, like, holy shit, these are some good tags that you gave me, those will go, it once, once I figure out how to work.
It's actually hard to know
Sarah
what the line
myself.
Is. After, like, I hadn't watched a bunch of battles in a while
because
I'm not fully engulfed in all that.
Right.
I was like, they go fucking far.
Sorry, I'm a comedy nerd, so I kind of, like, do everything I can to see what's going on in the world.
Yeah,
I know
some of us just kind of phone it in.
I get it. No, it's
I'm phoning. Oh, God, you caught me phoning it in again.
No. Right, but then, okay, so remember, you don't know how they go far on the roast battles. The roast, they go friggin' daggers in the heart with some, and I go, I work at a publicly traded company. I'm still me.
Yeah.
I can't go out there and go, and I have to, like, I had a, there was a really funny joke about Sarah being a woman and not being funny, which I loved because it's playing on a playing on a stereotype. And, but I was just waiting for like the outcry afterwards. Can you believe this joke about women not being funny? I was like, no, man, we made the joke because I think Sarah's fucking hilarious. That's why it's a joke. And it's like it plays on stereotypes. So I had to be really careful with what I could say and what I couldn't say because you don't know who's going to take it out of context in 6 years and go, can you believe he said this? And you're like, dude, it's a roast battle. Like, if anything, she could have helped me with that joke. You know?
You're insane. Okay.
But it was really fun.
We're done.
That scared me also.
We got to pee. Oh, what? What scared you to do it?
Yeah.
I mean, you were texting me like freaking. I was like, forget what I was doing. But I it
not
wasn't that
out.
Easy for me. I wasn't working out.
Yeah, it's New York, sure. So you know, there's nowhere.
I think I was at the bagel shop, just chowing down on some chips.
Really, all the bagels?
I actually,
I like a good bagel, but
I actually haven't been like eating that poorly. I've been eating not enough food. Like I've been.
Oh, all right.
I've been.
I don't eat too much.
I know, but I. In LA, I have it like regimented. Like I have a shake. I have my blender was there. We were in like housing all summer. We didn't have, and I was like, "What am I gonna buy a blender?"
No, you get that magic bullet or whatever, man. I use that for everything. Holy shit!
Will you travel with it?
No, but
it's got blades on.
But
it.
But the little blade one, a bunch of people for a while were traveling with in their checked bag. Got to be smart. You want that?
And some guys like Jinder, they got like meal prep,
dude, meal
like,
prep,
literally in a suitcase, right?
A giant Yeti cooler with. Prep meals. A guy like Jinder, I would say half of our roster, if not more, and they're psychos about working out. They're psychos about their diet, and I think that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Not my thing, but I think it's awesome.
You're psycho about working out, but
yeah. But I need to do it because if I didn't work in WWE, I'd still be a psycho about working out.
Okay, we gotta stop because we gotta pee. I gotta pee
real
also,
bad.
I went way over. I'm sorry. We were into it. Did you have fun?
Yeah, we went over, so, and I got to pee, so.
Did you have fun?
I thought.
Answer the question.
I thought we had a great time.
Okay, awesome. All right, guys, we're getting out of here. You want to check the questions?
Oh, my God.
You want to read? Some of them are bad.
Hey, favorite SNL sketch, and don't do something from, like, right now. It could be 80s, 90s.
My favorite SNL
sketch?
Yeah,
just so it sparks something in my head, and then we could be done. I'm holding the P2, but there's so many, and I used to watch them so much.
SNL, it's hard to say what my favorite SNL
sketch is. Of course, who the hell could say what it is?
There's like a million. Yeah. One I really love is the Mr. Tarkanian one. It's Will Ferrell as the boss. It's called Mean Boss, I believe.
You know the title of this sketch?
Because I look it up sometimes, because it's not that well known. It's on Will Ferrell's. If you want on Will Ferrell's best sketches, it's on his second disc.
Whoa.
Not even, it didn't make the first cut.
Well, I know what this sketch is.
Yeah, so it's Will Ferrell. He's the boss. Sarah, you know this one?
No, I don't.
Oh. It's Will Ferrell. It's Pierce Brosnan is the guest host.
So this is a long time ago.
Yeah. Like Tina Fey's in the sketch, just as like a walk on.
That's
like,
great.
Yeah. She's
it's like Conan in the Five Timers Club giving the jacket to Steve Martin or something like that.
Yes, when he was a writer. Yeah. It's Will Ferrell just being like a mean boss, I would say, is the game of that sketch. And the whole thing is he's interviewing Pierce Brosnan, right?
Yeah.
To work there. And he's just like, listen, we loved your stuff. Like, we want you to work here at this magazine. But then any employee that approaches them, he completely berates them while he's offering this job and explaining the benefits.
That's pretty great.
So, like, Rachel Dratch comes over and is like, hey, Tina Fey comes over. You see her, she gets a phone call just being like, what? My husband's in the hospital.
Oh,
and then
God.
She walks over like, I gotta go. And he's like, slaps her in the face. Like, and he just goes like, he's just like, you shut your... disgusting mouth.
Yeah.
On my time, you're gonna go see your husband. Like,
God.
Just the way he plays.
I don't even think
some
I know
of
the, this guy.
Humor, I don't think would play anymore.
Well, sure, it's a different time.
But then it heightens to a place where he kills one of his employees with a trident, and he's just stabbing him on the ground while he's dead, and the blood's shooting all over Pierce Brosnan, and he's explaining all of the benefits.
That's pretty great. I appreciate that.
It's very funny.
It just reminded me of the morning sketch that it was Sherry O'Terry and Will Ferrell will do.
Yeah.
And they're constantly like...
The teleprompter goes out.
The teleprompter goes... That's what the trident reminded me of.
Yeah.
They cut to like 90 seconds later of no teleprompter, and there's like his face is painted with blood and they're holding somebody's head and it's like there's fire around. That's pretty great. Appreciate that.
I really love it. Like Sandler was my hero.
Really?
Yeah. The other... Actually, was in L.A. You might think it's cool. Jamie was on a show at Largo.
Ooh.
And
Largo's always got a celeb on there somewhere.
Yeah, Largo was dope. And Jamie was like, Dan, she texted me, I'm recording the podcast. And I had the phone on. She goes, get over here now. Sandler's about to go on.
Oh, man.
I end the podcast and I drive over there and I got to see Sandler do 40 minutes.
Holy shit. I've... Stand-up, or is it songs and stories, or what?
It was stand-up. He sung a couple songs.
I've never seen him do any stand-up. It's got to be awesome.
The coolest thing about L.A. I know it happens in New York also.
Yeah.
But L.A., I feel like there's just so... Like, you see such high-caliber people working things out.
Right.
And they're just on regular... They're on shows with, like, my friends.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts, man.
Yeah, I did a set at UCB, like, a couple months ago when I was in L.A., and then Sarah Silverman went after me and then just, like, got on stage and complimented my joke to the crowd.
How?
And you're just
That's like Ric Flair going, hey, like, this guy is the next guy, and you're like, whoa, holy shit,
yeah.
Ric Flair just said that. And you're like, that's crazy.
Yeah, one time I was just telling a joke on stage. I didn't think it was, like, a smaller show, but I guess John Mulaney was, like, walking in.
No shit.
And just caught it, and then in the back he's just talking me up, giving me tags for the joke, like being like, and you're like, I'm such a mark for that stuff too. Like
that's crazy. That's like Mulaney is like the equivalent of me telling you your super kick's great.
Oh yeah, yeah. How's my super kick? No, I can do only the one that Del Rio did.
Just take one, you'll be fine. Huge fan of Mulaney's, by the way. That guy doesn't put out anything that's not hilarious.
Oh yeah, he's great. He's great, and anyway. All right. Comedy's great. Did you think of your SNL sketch?
Oh, I wasn't thinking of something. We're done.
We both have to pee. We talk about this forever, but this is not the last time you'll come in.
Well, you said it, not me. But yeah.
This might be the last time you come in.
Yeah, it's great.
But hey, this weekend, I mean, SummerSlam week, this is a bonus episode we're putting out for free with Dolph Ziggler, the current Intercontinental Champion. Well, come to our shows this week. Friday
I have
night.
Five jobs. I am already on 2 to 3 hours sleep for the entire day. I'm going on Fox Business tonight. I'm taking a train to Boston tomorrow to do that show at Laugh Boston. I'm coming right back to go downtown in Manhattan to go to Barnes & Noble to do an appearance. All your favorite superstars are doing them all over the city, New York and New Jersey, all week long. They're not going to have any sleep. Go out there and support those guys. Friday night at Caroline's, come see Dan and myself, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be really funny people and some people who don't know what the hell they're doing, and it's going to be a magical night, and we're going to make it maybe a once or twice a year thing if it works out really well. And I'm going to donate a huge donation to Wounded Warriors Project, and then Saturday night, come see Dan and myself again.
That's going to be great. Saturday night, midnight at Caveat Theater. It's going to be awesome. You get tickets at caveat.nyc. Ziggler will be there. And it sounds like you might see a real WWE Championship title at this show. All right. Hey, Ziggler, thank you so much for coming in and making the time. It's always a fucking blast. It goes too long because we're having too much fun.
Way too long.
All right. Hey, everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
UCB Comedy Production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.